Well, good morning. I want to encourage you to do something you may have never thought about before, and it's not staying awake during the sermon. But most Sundays, when I'm here, I have the great privilege of sitting among some of the best singers that we have. And if you haven't thought about this, I'm not asking you to join the praise team, but if you want to, that's fine. But every Sunday morning around 9 o'clock, the praise team comes into the auditorium and practices. And it's a great way to get your mind ready for Bible study. So let me encourage you, come on Sunday morning. Come on in here about 9 o'clock, sit down, and just listen and participate if you want to as the praise team practices. I will say, however, this morning, I am a little conflicted about what I'm going to talk about this morning. Not because I'm going to spend a lot of time reading Scripture, but because of something that happened this past week. Most of you know that for the last couple of weeks, on every Monday night and Tuesday night and Thursday night, I've been up here from about 5:30 till dark, and I've made the horseshoe pits and the cornhole sets and the volleyball available to anybody that wants to come. And the first night, a couple of people came, and we threw some horseshoes and threw some cornhole. The second night, a couple of people came. The third night, nobody showed up, which is fine. I know everybody's busy. Well, this past week, Monday night, nobody showed up. So I went and got my Bible, and I walked the field, and I preached to the ball field, and I preached to the horseshoe pits, and I preached to the grass, and I preached to the flock of Canadian geese that were in the yard. And they actually stayed. The food must have been pretty good. So Tuesday night, nobody showed up. So I went and got my, I actually took my Bible with me this time in anticipation of nobody showing up. And nobody showed up, so I got my Bible. And I headed out to the field to preach, and I noticed there was not a Canadian geese within sight. I don't know if they figured they'd heard it once and they didn't need to hear it again. But there wasn't a one in sight anywhere. And so Thursday night, I went out there and took my Bible again. Nobody showed up. Not a Canadian geese in sight again. Last night, not a Canadian geese in sight. So I don't know if I found a cure for your Canadian geese problem or if what I have to say is not worth listening to. But I am going to read a lot of Scripture, and that's always worth listening to. As we talked about several times, and as I've mentioned several times, and we talked about in class this morning, and Phil has mentioned it several times, when God was finished with creation, he looked at everything and he said that it was very good. And then Adam and Eve messed it all up by sinning. And then God put into plan his plan of redeeming mankind from their sins. And when Jesus began his public ministry, he goes into the synagogue. Somebody hands him the scroll of Isaiah, and he opens it up, and he reads, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolls the scroll back up and he gives it to the attendant and he sits down and everybody is looking at him and he says, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." This is why he came. This is why he left heaven and came to earth. And then later on in his life, he tells another story that's found in Matthew chapter 25. And we're not going to take the time to read it all. Good, you can see it because I can't read the one back there. But he tells a story. And again, we're not going to take time to read the whole thing. But he says, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep on his right, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these my brothers, you did it to me. And so Jesus shows up in the synagogue and reads from the prophet Isaiah and says, this is why I'm here. This is why I came, to redeem mankind from their sins and do that by proclaiming good news to the poor and setting the captives free. And then he tells this story in Matthew chapter 25. And he calls these individuals the righteous. And it's not a complicated story. It's not a difficult story from an intellectual standpoint to understand. Because everybody here, if you happen to be driving down the road and you see Jesus with his car pulled over on the shoulder, standing outside of his car, waving his arms, we would all stop and say, Jesus, you got car trouble? What can I do to help? Or if we saw Jesus standing in a bread line, we would probably all be horrified. And we'd go up to him and probably whisper in his ear, what are you doing standing in this bread line? Come on. Come on home with me. I'll give you something to eat. We would all do that. And Jesus said to those folks who he calls the righteous, you never saw me like that. You never saw me hungry and offered me food. You never saw me naked and offered to clothe me. But if you've done that to one of the least of these, you've done it to me. Next slide, please. Sorry, Nate, I meant to get with you and give you an idea of when to do this. Now, this is going to be the boring part of the sermon, but it's really not boring at all, but some statistics. In 2017, almost 14%, or close to 40 million Americans, were living in poverty. In Indiana, the population is about 6.4 million, 6.4, 6.6, almost a million Indianans, Hoosiers, are living in poverty. 15% of the households in Indiana experienced food insecurity, which is defined as at least one time in that year, people were worried about where their next meal was going to come from. In Marion County, approximately 127,300 people received food stamps. In Indianapolis alone, 20% of the residents are living in poverty. 29% of children in Indianapolis are living in poverty. We have people in this auditorium right now who sometime this week will wonder where their next meal is going to come from. And it's not because they can't decide between Chick-fil-A and McDonald's. It's because there's no food in the pantry and they don't have any money to buy food. Next slide. Homelessness. In 2018, approximately 500,000 people experienced homelessness at least one time. In Indiana alone, a little over 5,000 people experienced homelessness at least one time. In Indianapolis itself, about 1,728 people experienced homelessness at least one time. A couple of weeks ago, and I can't remember about exactly how many weeks ago it was, but on a Thursday night, 10 of us from this congregation went to the Wheeler Mission for Women and Children to feed them supper. And we didn't have to provide the food. We just had to put the food was provided, I think, from Second Helpings. All we had to do was put it on a tray And then six of us put the food on the tray, and then four or five of us walked it out there to the women and the children, and that's all we had to do. We did have to do some little cleaning up, but it wasn't much. And I haven't talked to anybody about this but my daughter, so I don't know if anybody else that was there felt the same way as I did. But every single one of those women, without exception, every one of them looked as if they had been beaten, not physically, even though there are probably some there who had experienced physical abuse, but every one of them looked like they had been beaten within an inch of their life. Whatever circumstances they experienced, that where they ended up at that place, life had just beaten them and beaten them and beaten them down. And I'm not patting myself on the back, and I'm not looking for any false praise, but I laid awake at night wondering what in the world we could do to help. I can't imagine the circumstances that those individuals went through. Some of it may have been their own fault, I don't know, but that's still no excuse. It was absolutely heartbreaking to look at those women and to look at those children and just to try to even imagine what they were going through. Next slide, Nate. Incarceration. About 2.2 million adults are incarcerated in the United States. In Indiana, the daily average incarceration is about 26,000, and that's a mistake. The next one is a mistake on my part, which I meant to correct and forgot to. Marion County Jail, the average daily population is somewhere around 1,500 to 2,000. Are most of them there through some bad decision that they made? Probably. And I won't ask for a show of hands, but just think about this. Anybody here ever made a bad decision that if you got caught would have ended you up in jail? I have. I've made several bad decisions that if I had gotten caught, I would have ended up in jail. I'll just tell you one of them. This is another reason why I'm not in charge of anything really important around here. I don't know how old I was, but I think I was in college, and I knew better. But anyway, one of my friends and I had this brilliant idea that we would sneak out onto the golf course one night and get in the pond and collect a bunch of the golf balls that were in the pond. I don't know why. It wasn't that we didn't have money to buy golf balls. I don't know why we decided that'd be a brilliant idea, but we did. And so I picked him up. So I was at least 16 or 17. I didn't get my license until I was 17. So I was driving. So I picked him up, and we drove to the golf course. We didn't park inside the parking lot. We weren't that stupid. So I parked outside of the golf course, and so we snuck onto the golf course, and the first pond was quite a ways away. And don't ask me why, because I'm stupid. I was wearing a nice white shirt. And so we get out there, and we take off our shoes, and we're just about to get into the pond when a truck shows up at the front gate and shines its light down the fairway. And so what do I do? Hey, who's that? You know, I just turn around there. I'm standing there, and here he comes in his truck. And so my friend and I don't even remember what his name was. We took off running. Next to the golf course was the airport. The airport, it was a local airport, but it was still federal property. Yeah. So we just jumped the fence into the airport. And here we are running through federal property, the airport. And it only has one runway. It was a really small airport. And so we get up to the, it wasn't even a tower, but where the, I guess the guard was or whatever. And he, you know, we're out of breath, we're sweating, and he says, what are y'all doing? And I made up some story, in other words, a lie, about my car being broke down and we got lost and all this kind of business. If he had, and for whatever reason, I guess maybe he just thought we were as stupid as we appeared to be, and he just let us go. But if I had gotten caught, or if he had turned us over to the authorities, I would have ended up in jail. Some of these people are there because they made dumb decisions. But that doesn't mean we ought not to care. And one of the things that Jesus said in Matthew 25 was, "You were in prison and you visited me." Next slide. Nationalities in Indianapolis: Burmese, Indian, Chinese, Filipino, Korean, Vietnamese, Japanese, Thai, and American Indian, and there's probably one or two others. Anybody here ever been a stranger? Anybody here ever been the new kid in school? Anybody ever here been the new guy at work? We know what it's like to be somewhere where we don't know anybody. And we know what it's like to be somewhere where nobody knows us. You know why God told the Israelites to be kind to the strangers? Because they were strangers once themselves. I don't speak Burmese. I don't speak any of those languages. But that doesn't mean I can't be friendly. That doesn't mean I can't be nice to these folks. Is it easy sometimes being around people who don't speak the same language that we do? Is it easy sometimes being around people who don't look like us, who don't dress like us? No, it's not. But Jesus calls the righteous the people who feed the hungry and give thirsty people something to drink and give people who don't have clothes some clothes to wear and people who are sick, those who visit them, and those who visit those individuals who are in prison, and those who are kind to the strangers. Those are the ones that he says are the righteous. And we should be doing this because God loved you and I enough to send his son to die for us. And when his son began his public ministry, he reads from the prophet Isaiah and he talks about bringing good news to the poor and setting at liberty those who are captive. And he calls the righteous, those who feed the hungry, and those who give thirsty people something to drink, and naked people something to wear, and visits those who are in sick and in prison. Next slide, Nate. Anybody feel overwhelmed at that? Even Jesus said, there's always going to be poor people. But that doesn't mean we are without hope or without help. By the power that indwells his children, with the guidance and comfort and strength from the Holy Spirit, you and I can make a difference. And you and I are called to make a difference. It is simply not enough to pray that somehow, in some way, somebody else will make a difference in the lives of those who are poor, and in the lives of those who are homeless, and in the lives of those who are incarcerated, and in the lives of those who don't look like us and who don't talk like us. It is simply unacceptable for us as children of God to simply pray that somebody, somewhere, in some way, will make a difference. We have at our disposal, if we will just use it, the power of the Holy Spirit the power that raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. The power of God is at our disposal, and we need to use it. We need to get busy being the salt and the light that God demands His children to be. It is time to not simply sit on the sidelines. It's time to get busy. And we do it because of the gratitude that we have for what God the Father has done through us, through His Son, and through His Spirit. So let's get busy. If your life is not what it ought to be, if your relationship with God is not what it ought to be, there's no reason to leave this morning without getting that taken care of. And to that end, a couple of the elders and their wives will be in the back. If there is a spiritual problem that you are experiencing and you need to tell somebody and you need to ask them for prayer, you're welcome to go back there, and they will pray with you, and they will pray for you, and they will pray over you. If you've come to the realization that Jesus is the Christ, that He is the Savior, and you want to put Him on as your Lord and Master, you can make that known by coming down front, and either myself or one of the elders will help you do that. No reason to leave this morning without being in a proper relationship with the God who loved you enough to send His Son to die for you. And if we can help you do that, then just let us know while we stand and sing.